This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The U.S.-North Korea summit kicks off in Hanoi, but what can it achieve? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Kim Jong-un has arrived for a second North Korea-U.S. summit. President Trump lands later today. The BBC's Laura Bicker is in Hanoi.
Crowds lined the streets waiting for Kim Jong-un to arrive. He grinned as he stepped off his armoured train where he's been travelling. On the agenda, many have speculated that it might be some kind of economic tour where he'll look at how Vietnamese business works in order to build his own economy. Kim Jong-un wants an easing of sanctions. He has promised his people that they will eat meat and have electricity. He is a young leader. If he wants to have a future as a leader, then he has to make good on that promise eventually.
Laura Bicker there. Well, Andrei Lankov is one of the few foreigners ever to study at Kim Il-sung University in Pyongyang. He now runs the Korea Risk Group and is considered one of the world's experts on North Korea's inner workings. So I asked him, are economic incentives enough for North Korea to hand over its nuclear arsenal?
Not enough. North Korea would like to emulate China or Vietnam. However, the North Korean decision makers are pretty sure if they surrender nuclear weapons, they will very soon follow the fate of Muammar Gaddafi, the only dictator in recent history who has agreed to sell his nuclear weapons development program. They are afraid of a foreign attack, and they're afraid of an internal revolution supported from overseas. If it happens, they will die. Therefore, no amount of money will persuade them to surrender nuclear weapons.
So are there any economic incentives that could work without giving up their nuclear weapons? The U.S. and the rest of the world isn't really going to make any kind of a deal with them.
There are good reasons to expect that U.S. administration will make some deals even if they do not surrender nuclear weapons. Because it looks like that Donald Trump and his people, and especially South Koreans, are quite willing to overlook the existence of the North Korean nuclear weapons as long as North Korea, so to say, behaves itself. No nuclear tests, no missile launches, no bellicose threat. Probably it will be enough to lift some sanctions.
What for North Korea would constitute a win from this summit?
They're really terrified about President Trump because in 2017, it did look pretty much like Americans were willing to deliver preemptive strike against North Korea. A war appeared to be possible. So North Korea's major goal is to wait Donald Trump out.
Why do you think Donald Trump is holding this summit? Because if North Korea is not going to denuclearize, what is the point of trying to negotiate with them?
But you know, Donald Trump believes himself to be the master of the deal. Probably he understands that denuclearization is not possible. But he still believes that he has stopped the North Korean nuclear program, and he sees it as a major success. And he is probably right. Because not a single U.S. president before has ever succeeded in stopping North Korean nuclear program for any length of time.
Andrei Lankov. The United Nations has launched a $4 billion appeal to fund aid for Yemen, gripped by the world's worst humanitarian crisis. Yemen has been devastated by a conflict that escalated in early 2015. The BBC's Imogen Folks reports now from the UN conference in Geneva.
The scale of Yemen's crisis is too immense for most of us even to imagine. The vast majority of its people are now deprived of the basic necessities for survival: food, water, medicine, safety. Millions of people are malnourished and facing famine. Families are resorting to desperate measures: child labor and child marriage, even if the UN gets the billions of pounds it is asking for. The next challenge will be delivering the aid. Grain supplies already landed at Yemen's ports are starting to rot. Aid agencies can't deliver them because the fighting continues despite the tentative truce agreed in December. UNICEF estimates 8 children have been killed or injured every single day since then.
Imogen, folks, let's do the numbers. Chinese stocks are sliding after hitting a 5-month high yesterday as investors await more details of the U.S.-China trade compromise. The Indian rupee and the country's benchmark stock index are trimming losses. Investors are parsing the impact of rising tensions with Pakistan. And the British pound is at its highest level in 4 weeks. Yesterday, Britain's opposition Labour Party said it supports holding a new public vote on Brexit. And today, Prime Minister Theresa May faces a potential revolt in Parliament by her own MPs, as the Bank of England Governor Mark Carney warned that continuing uncertainty over Brexit is weighing on businesses and consumers. Her digital minister, Margot James, echoes the sentiments of many businesses that crashing out of the European Union on March 29th with no deal is too damaging.
As the D-Day approaches, I think that we felt sort of on a bound to actually do something to help prevent such a catastrophe.
Now, media reports suggest that up to 15 Conservative MPs are willing to resign if Mrs. May doesn't rule out a no-deal Brexit. She's expected to acquiesce when she addresses Parliament later today and possibly even delay Brexit. Finally, the New York Times reports on China's pig farm of the future. It says companies are using facial and voice recognition, the same techniques China uses to spy on its own people, to keep its pigs in the pink of health. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.